Right, so daf is daf chav ches. So we got to the bottom of chav zayin and beis. The Gemara is busy darshaning the Mishnah about what types of things koyotim in ha'etz ein malikin balapishtan. And then to the koyotim in ha'etz ein matamei tumas o'alim balapishtan. So the Mishnah had said anything that comes from a tree, it doesn't have the ability to be matamei tumas o'alim, with the exception of pishtan. Pishtan is the only type of material that it's going to be mitame tumas ohel. So the Gemara says on the very last line of Chav Zayin Beis, Uminolon, how do we know this to be the case? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gamar Ohel Ohel Mimishkum. We have a Gezer Shava. It says Ksiv Hach. It's written here, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamos BaOhel. That when a person dies in an Ohel, it's referring to Parshas Chukas. This is tumas ohel. Uksiv Hach. It's written by the Mishkan, Vayifros es ha'ol al ha'mishkan, and you spread an ol out over the Mishkan. So since it says ol by Tumas Meis, it says ol by the Mishkan, ma'lahalan shapishan kari ol. Just like for the Mishkan, one of the coverings of the Mishkan was made of pishtan, and it's called an ohel. So afkan shapishan kari ohel. So too, when it comes to Tumas Meis, a ohel made of pishtan would be mitame ba ohel. So the Gemara says, if we're using the Mishkan as a model for what's Tumas Ohel, so then Imal Halan Shizurnu Vechutin Kafel Shisha. So then if you're using it as the model, so then that means the material has to be spun, Shizurin, and has to be wrapped around six times over. That's the type of thread that they were using for the Mishkan. So Afkan Shizurin Vechutin Kafel Shisha. So too the Pishan that would be Mitame Tumas Ohel should also be the same criteria of Shizurin Vechutin Vekafel Shisha. So the Gemara says we don't need that criteria because Tamalomar Ohel Ohel Reba. It says Ohel two times in the context of Tumas Ohel. So what's the double lashon Ohel Ohel to be more inclusive that we don't have to have the Pishon to be Shizurin v'Chutin Kafel Shisha? So the Gemara asks the obvious question: the E Ohel Ohel Reba, if the word Ohel repeating itself is coming to include other types of things for an Ohel, so then afilu kol milanami. So then any material should qualify as an OL. Why are we limiting it to Pishon? Meaning either we're using the Mishkan as a model, so it should be Pishon and that are Shizun Mechutin Kafel Shisha, or we're not using Mishkan as a model, and OL includes all types of materials, even things that aren't Pishon. So the Gemara answers him, Kain Gzer Shava Mai Ahanile. So then what good would the Gzer Shava be? So OL limits things, and OL, rather, the Gzer Shava, Ol ol limits things, and then double lashon ol ol includes things. So we have a healthy balance here of including, excluding everything but pishon, but it's including any type of pishon, no matter how many times you spin it and create the thread. Fine. So the Gemara asks the question: if we're really using the Mishkan as a model for what's tumas ohel, so ema malahalan krushim afkan. Krushim. So just like by the Mishkan, they use krushim, which was made of wood, any type of wood, and it's called an ohel because that's the building of the Mishkan. So too, it shouldn't only be pishon that creates an ohel. All types of wood, or at least erez, at least cedar, that's how the word that was used for the Mishkan, at least cedar should be considered an ohel because that's what was used also for the Mishkan. So the Gemara answers, Amar Kra, Vasisa krushim l'mishkan. So you made the krushim, you made these walls for the Mishkan. Mishkan, Kari Mishkan, Vein Karin, Krushin rather, Kurin Mishkan. So what does this mean here? So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says Mishkan, Kari Mishkan. Kigon Esa Yirios Shesh Mashar Mishkan Ikre Ohel. The 10 different coverings over the Mishkan, that's called an Ohel. Dichsiv Es Mishkan Ohel Moed. But the Krushim were not called a Mishkan, they were holding up the Mishkan. They're part of the Mishkan, but they weren't actually the Mishkan. Meaning only the Mishkan is called an Ohel, not things that support the Mishkan. So Krushim are supports, and they're not considered an Ohel. So then the Gemara says, El Me'at, if that's the case, V'asisa Michse La'Ohel. So you should make for it a covering for the Ohel, Hachanami Michse Lo Ikrei Ohel. So the michse is referring to the coverings, the different types of coverings they put over the Mishkan. So part of the michse was also including the pishta. So the pasuk says, michse la'ohel. You use the covering for to help, to assist the ohel, but the michse itself is not called an ohel. So how do we know? So look at Rashi says here. See Rashi, hachanami, de michse oros lav ohel, uli'inin tumanami lo makabel. So the question is, after they cover the Mishkan, they used leather, they used hides to help cover the OL, but the ore itself was not an OL. It was only a cover to the OL. So if we're saying that ore is not an OL, so then ore should also not be Makabel Tumas OL. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if ore isn't Makabel Tumas OL, I hope everyone's still with me. I know this is hard stuff, getting to the world of Tumah and OL. But if ore is, again, not called an OL, and therefore it shouldn't be Makabel Tumah, so Ella Hadibai Rabbi Elazar, or Behema Tmea, Mao She Tama Ba'ohel Mace. So Rabbi Elazar had the question, is the skin of a non-kosher animal, does it have the ability to be Metame Ba'ohel? So the Gemara says, what kind of question is that? If you're going to say Hashta or Behema Tahora Lo Metame, or Behema Tmea Mibai? So if we're assuming right now, that since the or, they use the kosher animal skin, kosher animal hide to cover as a michse for the Mishkan. And that we is already established is not considered an OL and not Tumas, won't create Tumas OL. So if Behema Torah doesn't have the ability to create an OL, so certainly Behema Temeah, the or Behema Temeah shouldn't either. So why was Rabbi Eliezer ever asking a question about Behema Temeah? It must be then. If Rabbi Eliezer asked the question about or Behema Temeah, the assumption is that or Behema Torah actually is Tumas OL. So the Gemara says no. Even though you're right that the Pasuk referred to or as michse la'ohel, as only a michse to the ohel, but not an actual ohel. But the Gemara says, shiny hasam, when it comes to or, hader ahadre kra. The Pasuk re-included or. First it excluded or, it was only michse la'ohel, but in the following Pasuk we see that or is, again, ahadre kra. It was brought back into the Pasuk and included as an OL, dichsiv, as it says in the pasuk in the Mishkan, v'nasu es yirios ha-mishkan, you put the yirios, the different curtains over the Mishkan, ves OL moed michsehu u'michseh ha-tachash asher alav. And then you cover it with the covering of the tachash, we'll get to where the tachash is, on the unicorn maybe, so ha-shemakish elyon le-tachton. So we're connecting the top covering, the top layer, which was made of the ore, to the tachton, to the lower, which was made of the eser yirios. So ma tachton kari ohel, just like the lower layers, the lower yirios, everybody agrees is an ohel. So to af elyon, so to the top layer, which was the ore, was also called an ohel. So again, even though initially the pasuk says ore was only a michsel ohel, which was excluding ore from being an ohel, here the pasuk re-includes it into the category of being an ohel. Everyone's good still? Okay, great. Gemara says, Gufa, ask the Gemara, Gufa. Should we do a Tosos? I'm not sure if you guys are up for a Tosos. Doesn't seem that way. Let's just stick to the Gemara. Gemara says, Gufa by Rabbi Elazar or Behema Temea Mahu Shi Tamet Tumas. Oh, well, we're repeating the question above, that what's the status of a non-kosher animal's hide? Is it going to be Metamet Tumas Oel or not? Mai can be barley. What exactly is the suffix? So Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, Tachash Shehaya Bimei Moshe. There was this animal called a Tachash that was in the times of Moshe Benu. Kami Barley, they wanted to know, was it Tamehaya or Torahaya? Was it a non-kosher animal or was it a kosher animal? So this Tachash we're going to get to, that's only had one horn. It was one horn. It was a unicorn of some sort. So was it a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal? That's the Shaila. And Amr of Yosef, Rav Yosef responds, Mighty Barley, what's your Shaila? Tanina, member of Yosef, always, he knew all Mishnayos, he knew all Brises, so he was never bothered by any Svara questions, even though this is a logical question. He pulled out a Mefurish statement we have in the Mishnayos. Tanina la, Lo huchsharu l'mleches shemayim, ela or behema tahora bilvat. That the only thing that is allowed to be used for Melechas Shemayim, and the Mishkan is considered Melechas Shemayim, would be a kosher animal. So since the Pasuk above said, Michse Atachash, the covering made a Tachash, the covering made from a unicorn, so then, did they by the way use the word unicorn for Tachash here? Or they just say Tachash? So whatever, the covering of the Tachash, so since that was used for covering the Mishkan, so that has to have come from a kosher animal, so we do answer the question, it is a kosher animal. So then the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said the following, Shnei michsos hayu, there were two coverings, Echad shel oros elim ma'adamim, one made from like red ram skin of some sort, and Echad shel oros tachashim, and one made from the hides of the tachashim, I'm going to call them unicorns. So Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Michse Echad Hayah. No, it was really one covering. Vidoma Kimin Tala Ilan. It was like a Tala Ilan. What's a Tala Ilan? You look at Rashi around 15 lines up. He says, Chaya Temea Uminumeris Begavnin. It's a non-kosher Chaya, a wild animal that was not kosher, and it had many different shades. Minumeris Begavnin means it was striped with many, many colors. So that's what a Tala Ilan. So we see from here that Rabbi Nechemah held that it was a common, it was a this type of animal. Min Tala Ilan, which was again a non-kosher animal. So a non-kosher animal is permitted from Lechas Shemaim, even for the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, "Vaha tla ilan tameh, who isn't it tameh?" The Gemara answers, "No, hachi Gemara." It says, "Kimin tala ilan hu sheyesh gavnin harbe velo tala ilan itself." It was similar to this tala ilan. Is there a name for this tala ilan? Okay, there's so tala ilan again. Apparently, was a known non-kosher animal with many, many colors. So the animal used in the Mishkan was similar to the tala ilan in that it had many different colors, but it wasn't actually a tala ilan. It was a kosher animal. Dilahasam tame, by the tala ilan, it's a non-kosher animal, but hacha, by the tachash, is a tahor, it's a kosher animal. And the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yosef. Again, Rav Yosef was also the one, I think always, whenever you see Shas that quotes Targum in Shas, Rav Yosef is always the one that I remember is quoting the Targum, because again, he knew everything about Peh. So Rav Yosef, ihachi, that's the case. Hainu dimitakaminan, that's exactly what the translation is of Sisaguna Sheshash Begavnin Harbe. So where's that Rashi there? Rashi says Sheshash is Shasameach Biyofyo Begavnin. Sus, that it's happy with many, many different colors. That's apparently the Targum of Tachash. Okay, the Gemara now says for the last. Yeah, Len, yeah.
None of these people, you just said before about the...
My Dahava Hava. Yeah. You're saying who cares about what this is made of?
Right, it's not like it's being reused.
Because Tachash doesn't exist anymore. Is that the point you're saying?
Or just like some, like a lot of times when the Gemara has a historical fact, well, what did they do, what was it? And
you
just answer,
right. So I think, because we are learning a principle, because whether Tachash is Tamei or Tahor is going to indicate whether non-kosher animals could also serve as an Ohel. From it would a pigskin, would that be an Ohel or not? So if Tachash was Tameh, so even though we don't have Tachash anymore, well, we do have other non-kosher animals, will that serve as a Ohel or not?
Will this be used in the base, like this, in the Mishkan?
Yeah.
Something for the base of
Mikdash?
No.
No, there's no Urias in the base of Mikdash. No. This was unique, yeah. It sounds like, the fact that it's a Bimei Moshe, I didn't look into this, it sounds like it was something that was just during the times of Moshe Beinu. All of them also had this animal, but it sounds like it doesn't exist anymore.
Mishkan existed way past Moshe Beinu.
Right. Correct. Well, I'm not sure if they ever redid that. I mean, may have had one, and then they kept the original. I don't know. Not sure. They did say that for the base of Mikdash, the curtains that they used, they made multiple ones, I think every year. They got very worn out. But the Mishkan, the Chazal tell us that the Bnei Yisrael at least wore the same clothing the whole time, and it got cleaned and laundered in the Ananei HaKavod. So I don't know about the Urios, whether that was the case or not, but Mestamed also was just one, it was the one same one used, my guess. Okay, the Gemara now says, last in our line here, Rava Amar or Behema Timea de Metame Be'ohel Hameis Mehacha. He brings a source. Now, up until now, we've assumed that this was the question of Rabbi Elazar. He wasn't sure whether or behema tamea is going to be metamel be'ohel or not, but Rava thinks it is metamel be'ohel. What's his proof? So the first wide line down in Amud Aleph here, he says, D'tanya, or, o be'or, riba. So Paul takes or, and then says, o be'or, what's or be'or, to come to include it. So you have to understand here, Rashi points out, if you know the Pesukim, it's in the context of Gavei Negaim. So if a person has a taras on his skin, so it says, where's the pasuk on the side here? One second. O v'shasi o v'erev lapishim latzemer o v'or o v'chom leches or. So it says or, and it says o v'or. That's extra. Coming to include that or behemoth tamea is also considered skin, that if a person, I'm not sure how this works out exactly, or behemoth tamea, you have taras in an animal? Yeah? Okay. Okay, fine. So it comes to include that Or Behemoth Temeah is Makabal Tumas Saras, Tumas Nagar. V'shalaka b'yad ha-kohen, And so then Shalaka Biyad Kohen, Rashi says, means Mishir Hareyu Biyad Kohen Nasa Nega Umitchila Lahaya Nega. So this also we know the halacha is only, it's even though it mitzias, it's considered teras, it's not called a teras until the Kohen actually declares it a teras. So that's the halacha. Shalaka Biyad Kohen became laka. Now it has a din of teras once he established it by, it was established by the Kohen. Let's say katatz mikulan v'asa achas mihem. So let's say you, Rashi says, you gather together all the different types of minim that teras can be found on, and you put them together as one unit. You take some skin, you take some pishtun and samar, you put them all together in one mixture, and you have teras. How do I know if you have teras on this multi clothed whatever it is? So minayin tamalomar o b'chom lechas or. Oh, b'chol melechas ha'or, that seems to be extra, because we already spoke about or earlier. That comes to include, if even if there's a combination of different materials, that would also be considered teras if it gets a neg on it. So ikla mifrach, some say, so the Rav was saying, so just like you see, tumas negayim is chal on the or behema temeya, so too, or behema temeya is considered tumas, oh well, he's connecting the two types of tumas. So the Gemara says you can't use the case of Negam as a model, because Ikla Mifrach, Ma'alin Negam, Shekain Shesi Ve'erev, Tami Behem. There's a certain Chumar by Negam. Even if you have Negam on one Shesi Ve'erev and one stitch up and down, even that will be considered Tame, as opposed to other types of Tumas, they won't be Chal in such a small shear. So just like the Chumar of Negam by the shear, so too this is a Chumar. Maybe Negam applies to the Or Behema Tameya, but no other Tumah should apply to an or behema temeya. So the Gemara answers, Ella gamar mishratzim. We're going to use shratzim as the model, because sheretz is something that's tame. Ditanya, or ein li ella or behema torah. I only know that the skin of a behema tahora can become tame from a sheretz. What about or behema temeya minayin? How do I know if a sheretz touches a non-kosher animal skin, it's tame? Tamalomer, oh, or that's extra. So just like there's tuma for sheretz on a or behema temeya, so too there's going to be tumas ol on an or behema temeya. So Gemara says you can't use shratzim as a model. Ikdal mifrach mal shratzim shekain metamin mekadasha. There's a chumra when it comes to shratzim that it applies to a small shear of a lentil. That's very small. So you can't learn elsewhere. Others don't have such a chumra. So the Gemara says negam yochichu. Look back in negam and find yachazar adin lo rezek korizel lo rezek korizel tzayah shavah shebehen sheor tamei behen. What's the common denominator with negayim and shratzim? That it's metame, the or tame is going to be tame, v'asei or behema tameik or behema torah, that we're equating the skin of a non-kosher animal to the skin of a kosher animal. So to afani avi ola meis sheor tame bo v'nasebo or behema tameik or behema Torah. So we're going to use shratzim negam as a combination, as a model, to say that or behema temeya will be metame be'ohel as well. So Amar Lei Rava mi Barnish leRavashi asked the question from the Tzad Shava. Sorry? Yeah, we did that. So Ikla Mifrach, one could ask the question, Malata Shava Shebehen, Shekein Temein Bepachos Mikazais. No, but Zachum, if you put these two together, they both are metame in such a small shear, less than the shear of Kazais. Tomer B'meis, are you going to now bring that over to the lachas of Tumas Meis? She'ein metame ela b'kazayis? You need a larger shear for Tumas Meis to be affected by OL. So maybe you can use a shratzim and negam as a model. So they threw out that understanding. The ela amar rava mi barnish. What's his understanding? How do you know that or behemet tameya is tame b'ol? Asya b'kava chomer minotze shel izim. He uses a kava chomer learned out from the wool of a goat. She'ein metame b'negam, but it's metame b'ohel hames. So even though negam is chal on the skin of animals, it's not chal on the wool, on the fur of the animals. So minot she'izim, she'ein metame b'negam, the wool of izim is not subject to negam, but it is metame b'ohel hames, but it can be subject to the lachas of tumas ohel. So now, or behema tamei, the skin of a non-kosher animal, shemetame ben negayim, that the pasuk says it is subject to negayim, so then certainly, ein odin shemetame ba'ol mesa, certainly it should be included in tumas o'al hames. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Okay, good. Shkoyach. Thank you. Fine. The Gemara says, right there, elah hadatani of Yosef, loch, shar melech shemayim, elah or behema tor bavad. So now, initially we thought of Yosef's statement was referring to the halachas of Tumas Oel and the building of the Mishkan. We now already established that's not true, because we said you can use a non-kosher animal for Ohel. So now we're trying to figure out what in the world was Rav Yosef talking about when he said, Lo huchsharu b'mlecha shemayim ela or behema Torah b'vat, that you can only use a kosher animal skin for a mlecha shemayim. What mlecha shemayim is he referring to? Well, it's not the Mishkan anymore. So my hilchasa, what was he referring to? So the Gemara explains, hilchasa litzvilin. It's a tefillin that for making tefillin, you have to use cloth of a kosher animal. Gemara says, you don't need that pasuk, you don't need the statement of Rav Yosef. Tefillin behenik sibuhu. There's a mefurish pasuk that tells me you have to use a non-kosher animal, rather, a kosher animal for tefillin. Leman tia Torah Hashem beficha, that the Torah that comes to tefillin, the Torah has to be in your mouth. What does it mean beficha? What does that mean? Mina mutter beficha, that which is mutter in your mouth, meaning a kosher animal, that's the type of skin you have to use, a cloth you have to use to write the tefillin. So the Gemara says, no, elala oron, unless you're referring to the skin. Well, which skin? The Rashi explains here. If you look at Rashi, la'oran, or dafus shelahen, she'aksavim she'parshas munachim bo. Like the boxes. The boxes are made of leather also. People don't realize that, but it's made of leather. That also has to be in a kosher animal. Deha lo milaman tia b'nafka. It's not learned out from the same pasuk of laman tia. Because deha lav torah ksiva be. Because the pasuk of liman tia torah sashem beficha is only describing whatever you write on. Beficha, referring to speech and ksiva and words. So that's only the cloth is learned out from the pasuk. But how do I... Yeah.
Maybe
with the
oil. You quoted this like recently, huh?
Oil, I may have mentioned the oil. Yes, the oil, yeah.
Yeah,
came up.
Kosher or
non-kosher. Yeah, and Basra Chalav, I mentioned that also. Right. Why you asked me about the non-kosher animal and non-kosher oils. I said Mutter Beficha. I brought it up, though.
You brought this up.
I'll have to think about it. I did bring it up. Tzitzis, what tzitzis? Yeah, tzitzis about mutter beficha. We said, why not tzitzis? And the answer was, only things that are davar shebekedusha require mutter beficha. Tzitzis is not davar shebekedusha, only tefillinus. But now the Gemara is qualifying that davar shebekedusha, it only applies to the ksiva. Whatever you write on the cloth requires whatever it is a ksiva. But since the batim is not a ksiva, the batim doesn't need to have, it's not part of the positive of l'man taras Hashem, tia taras Hashem beficha. So how do we know that the or the boxes always have to be made from a kosher animal? So that's from this idea of Rav Yosef that lo hilchshar mlecha shemaim ela or behema Torah bavad. Whereas it can't be true, because even the or, even the boxes, v'hamar abai shin shel tefillin halach mosh misinai, that the shin on the tefillin has to be halach mosh misinai, and that also is a ksiva. The shin itself is a ksiva. So the boxes which have two shins on it has to also have made from a kosher animal. Rashi explains further. Look at Rashi. You see, shin shel tefillin. He says, she yeheya or nikmat mi b'chutz gimel k'matin v'dom l'shin. The box on the outside has to be pressed together and molded. So you see the shin that's protruding from it. V'aretzua niksharis k'min dalet. And the strap, the one behind the sharosh, is made from a dalet. And v'yesh retzua k'fufa k'min yud. And also, some has a double one about a yud. Usually, it's referring to the one by the tefillin shayad. And da'ainu shakai v'chem de'os Hashem nichta v'kmatim shalau. Since the box has Hashem's name, at least one of the letters of the name is engraved or really written some sort on the box. Mutter beficha ba'inan u'mikra yinafik. It's learned out from that same pasuk of l'man tia taras Hashem beficha. So again, what is Rav Yosef referring to? Of lo huchshar mlecha shemaim ela or behema tor bovat. So Gemara says ela must be. So when it comes to tying them together with the hair and with the sinews, that's kosher animals. I'm not sure if any of you guys ever saw the inside of tefillin, but the way it works is the cloth, you put them in after you roll them, you actually tie them a little bit with some hair. When you put them in, you take the bottom and you sew it also with the hair and sinews of the kosher animals. And also they have... may have that string that comes out that keeps the yud attached to the box. That's also all that comes from kosher animal, either the gidin or the tsaros. So that also has to come from kosher animals. So So Gemara says, Hanami lachamush mishnei. That too is a lachamush mishnei, all those materials. The Tanya, tefillin murbaos halachamush mishnei. The fact that tefillin has to be a square or cube is also lachamush mishnei, in addition to nichrachos bisar, and the fact that they're wrapped together in the hair, nisparos begidim, and they're sewn together with the gidim, that all is a lachamush mishnei. What's Yosef telling us? So the Gemara says, finally, El Ritzuos is telling us that the straps have to come from a kosher animal. Gemara says the straps, Vamar Rav Yitzchak Ritzuos Shecharos Halach Mosh Mishinai, where Rav Yitzchak said that the straps, the fact that the straps are black, that's Halach Mosh Mishinai. So if it's Halach Mosh Mishinai, so that means the material is also Halach Mosh Mishinai. So what do you need the statement for? So the Gemara says, Nehi de Gemiri Shecharos, but Tehoros Mi Gemiri. Granted, the fact that it has to be black, that's halacha mosh mishinai. But whoever said the fact that it has to come from a kosher animal, that's halacha mosh mishinai. It's not halacha mosh mishinai. Using a kosher animal is learned out from the statement of Rav Yosef that lo huchsharu b'lecha shemayim el or behema tahora bilvai. Fine. Fine. Let's go right to the Gemara now. My Havale. Bottom line, what's the halacha? Rashi explains what's the question here. If you look at Rashi on halfway down the narrow lines, my Havale, the Tachash, the question is, so Rashi says, the whole Rav Yosef, lav le'inin mlechas de mishkan itmar, lo ifshit bayan. Since we've established Rav Yosef is no longer referring to the discussion of the mishkan, he's referring to something in Hilchos Tfilim, so now we go back to square one. What was the status of that tachash b'mei Moshe? Was it a kosher animal or was it a non-kosher animal? So the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Allah, Amar Rishim and Levi, Amar Omer Hayah Rabbi Meir, tachash Hayah b'mei Moshe birya b'fnei atzma Hayah. It was a independent creation. It wasn't part of any other species. V'lo hichriu b'chachamim, and chacham couldn't conclude im min chayahu im min behemo. They couldn't decide whether it was a wild animal or whether it was a domesticated animal. That's question one. That's suffix number one. And the karen achas ha'is alav b'mitzcho, it had a horn from its forehead like a unicorn. Ulefi shah nizdamin lo l'moshe, and it came just a very short period of time in history during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu for this purpose. V'asim imenu mishkan, and they used it to make a mishkan. Benignas, and it was hidden and it was extinct. It was never found again. So the Gemara says, well, we have in fantasy books, so all these children books like these types of fantasy animals, which the Gemara speaks of such wild things like this. So this is an example of the unicorn. We have another example. What?
Like dinosaurs.
I'm not familiar with any dinosaurs in the Gemara, but any other one? Which one?
Bill on the talking donkey.
Talking donkey. That's a possible. Fine. I guess that's a fantasy. But that I was thinking about animals. There's a mermaid that the Gemara in Bukhari mentions, half man, half fish. That's mentioned. It's called like a dolphin or something in the Gemara in Bukhari. So you have a few cases like this of these animals we don't have anymore that were extinct. Fine. So the Gemara now says from this, midikamar keren achas hayisal b'metzcho shmamina tarhaya. From the fact that we say it had one horn, it must have been tahor. Or what's the connection of one horn to being tahor? So if you look at Rashi, rather the Gemara further, Damar Rabbi Yehuda, Shor Shehikiv Adam Harishon Keren Achas Hayisala B'metzcha. The animal that Adam was makriv in the carbon on the mizbeach, rather, was an animal that also had one keren. And Shenemar, as it says, this pasuk tells us that V'seitav LaHashem Mishur Par Makrin Mafris. The pasuk in Tilm tells us it was pleasant to Hashem from the shore, from the cow that was makrin, that had a horn, and mafris. So referring to, I guess, the splitting of the hooves, maybe. So the Gemara says, Tarti Mashman, this pasuk makrin sounds like there are multiple horns, not just one. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mikeren Ksiv. It doesn't have the yud, even though it's pronounced as makrin, it's written as Mikeren, that there's one horn. So we see from here, so then the fact that he brought it as a carbon, this one-horned animal, this unicorn, must be that to kosher animal, because we only bring kosher animals for carbonos. So that's what the tachash was. The same exact animal that Adam brought was the same exact animal that Moshe Rabbeinu had.
The quotes here on the bottom, the Gemara and Neva, I know Rashi quotes it.
Yeah.
That any animal that has horns has split hooves and therefore has to be kosher.
Ah, that's what he quotes. Ah, interesting. That's the Raya. Not the fact that Adam used it.
Moose. It's a Gemara from the Nala from the base.
Yeah, so the Gemara talks about different types of horns, not all horns. It has to be a certain horn that grows in a certain way. I don't think that's considered horns. Those are considered, what are the English term? Antlers, I guess, right? So a horn is different. It has to be for a shofar, I think. You could use it, make a shofar out of it. That's interesting. That's the Rai. They said that's Rashi and Nida, you said?
Mishnah and Nida.
Kol sheyesh bo keren? So why they bring a raya then from Adam Arishon? Yeah, what they say.
Adam Arishon was following the Mishnah. Isn't that Mishnah that says that any? Does your Gemara quote that Mishnah?
Now on the bottom it does, but on the top it says what I said here. It says from the fact that Adam brought it, must be his kosher animal, that was the same as Moshe Benu. In the footnote, like you said, it quotes Tosas and Chulin, based on the Gemara Nida, this whole discussion of the Mafrise Parsa and the Karen. All right, so they're all connected, it seems. But interesting, Rashi doesn't mention that Mishnah here. Okay. So then the Gemara says, once we establish that we're using the fact that Adam brought it as a carbon, tells us that it was a kosher animal, fine, very nice. So then the Gemara asks one step further, v'lifshot minei de min behemahu. So let's answer the question, it must be a min behema. Why must it be a min behema?
No, this is what it is. The Mishnah says that anything with horns is kosher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't reach them, we learned that one horn, since the animal he brought only had one horn.
So even one horn.
One horn fits into that Mishnah.
Ah, so that explains Moshe.
That's what it is.
Fine. So then the Gemara says, once we establish that it was a kosher animal, so why not answer the other question of lifshot minei de min behemahu? Because only a behema is kosher as a carbon. We never allow a chaya as a kosher carbon. So the Gemara says, "V'kevan dika keresh dimin chayhu, v'lesay alecha the keren, ikamemar min chayhu." So what's the shaila here? So since this is an animal, there exists an animal that's called a keresh out there, and that's a wild animal, and that keresh only has a one horn. It's possible to say that he used that animal. The wild animal. So that goes back to the initial question. So if we said that he followed the halacha, so the halacha is you can't bring chayas, so how is there a chashash? Maybe the point made Moshe Benu did. Maybe Adam. So Adam probably had to have used the kosher animal. He used the behema. The question is what Moshe Benu used, did he use a chay or behema? Right, it's definitely a kosher animal, but the question becomes whether it was a behema or a chaya. That's the shaila for Moshe Benu. No difference anymore, really. I'm not sure what the nafkamin is. I guess a person comes across one, whether it's chay and kisei adam or not. But now the fact that it's nignaz, you never have it again, it's a question of my dehava hava. Who really cares about it anymore? Now, the interesting Torah's Olah they quote here in the Masifta here. The idea, and it's I'm not sure what the, it's just panemius here, that the idea of two horns, that animals have two horns, not one anymore, because the horns, apparently, the carbonals represent two ideas here. A carbon represents chiddush olam, the brias olam, and number two, it represents the end of the world, beginning of the world and the end of the world. I don't know how, I'm just reading what it says down here, and that the world was created at year zero, and it's going to be destroyed after 6,000 years. So that's the hint of every two-horned animal. But since Adam HaRishon was himself the creation of the world, he didn't need to be reminded of the Chiddush HaOlam, so therefore he brought an animal that was only one Karen. That's what it says down here, but again, I don't fully appreciate this. Okay. The Mishnah says now, the new Mishnah, Psilas HaBeget Shekip Lavlo Hivava, if you have a piece of cloth that you twisted into a wick, and you kipla means you twisted it, made into a thread, below hiva, but you didn't burn it, because oftentimes what they would do is, even now, you'd burn it a little bit just to make an outright to catch fire. If you have cotton or something, and just raw, it takes some time, a couple seconds maybe, to catch fire. If you first light it with fire, make it turn black, it's more susceptible to catching fire. So what happens if you twist the cloth, but you don't burn it? So what's the status? Is it still considered a cloth, just folded up, and is it going to be metame? Or no, since you fold it up, it lost its shame of being a cloth, and wouldn't be considered kli to be metame anymore. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tmehi, it is considered tmeya. So once you twisted it, even though you haven't burnt it yet, it's twisted, it's no longer considered a cloth. But ain malikim bo, you're not allowed to light from it. The Gemara will explain why. But Rabbi Akiva, Torah, it's still Torah because you could always unravel it and turn it back into the kli. And unless you burn it first, that really ruined the shame kli. But if you just twisted it, Rabbi Akiva thinks since it could go back very easily to its initial state of being a cloth, it's still considered One more time. Rabbi Eliezer says it can be Timea. It's Roy Lutuma. Since you can unravel it, it's still considered kli and Roy Lukabotuma. Rabbi Akiva holds, once you twist it, it's Tahora. It can't become Tameh anymore. It loses its shame kli. And he also holds Malikin Ba. So again, we'll see the Machlokas, what it means, whether you're Malikin or not Malikin. So the Gemara says, Bishma, I understand the Machlokas, Linin Tuma, why they're debating whether the Psila is Tameh or not. Ba Pligi, they're arguing as follows. The Rabbi Eliezer Savar, he holds Kipol Einamol, that twisting up the cloth, folding up the cloth, Einamol, doesn't affect anything. It doesn't change the status of the cloth. It's still cloth. Uvim Milsa Kaima, Kamaisa Kaimi. It's still holding back the Milsa Kamaisa, the initial form. Even though it's twisted, it's still cloth. And Roy Lekabel Tuma. The Rabbi Akiva argues in Savar, he holds Kipol Ismoel, that the Kipol twisting it and folding it is effective. And loses its shame kli, so it's not roi lekabel tuma since it's not kli anymore. So that we understand the machlokas about tuma. Elalina and halakha, my plea, what's the machlokas whether you could use this twisted cloth or not for lighting the Ner Shabbos? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshai, v'chein Amar Rabbi Ad Barava, hacha b'shlosha shlosha mitzum tamos askin. We're talking about where it's exactly 3x3 size cloth. Where anything less than that, it will be not tummy. It won't be tummy anymore. It's not cleave. It's exactly the right shear. We're talking about Yontif on Friday. Yontif in the Shabbos. The Chuli Alma is lehu de Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone agrees to Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Damar masikin bekalim ein masikin b'shivay kalim. Everyone agrees. You're allowed to use kalim to light candles, but you can't use broken kalim to light fire. Everyone agrees to that. Because the reason is it's nolad. If something broke on Yontif, it's called nolad, and it's not roi for lighting anymore. It has to be roi, it has to be kli. But once it's a shivrei kli, if it broke on Yontif, it's nolad, and it's also to use. Everyone agrees to that shita. Udechuli alma, everyone also agrees, the islahul de ula, they hold of ula. The amar ula ula holds, hamalik tzarech shialik berov hayotze. When you light a candle, you have to light most of the candle. So Rabbi Eliezer, savar kipul, einamol. It doesn't work. When you fold it, we twist it, it doesn't ruin its shame kli. But chavan de alik be, purta, but once you light it just a bit, havile shever kli, you just made it into a shever kli, you just broke it. It means it's right now, it's 3x3 exactly. It's twisted. It still has a shame kli on it. The second you light it on fire, it went down and lost a strand, let's say, a little thread, now it's less than 3x3. So now it's called shivrei kli, which you created on Yontif, so now that's nolad into a broken kli, and that's not allowed to be used on Yontif because it's nolad. So then, v'hachi kamalik v'shever kli kamalik. So then, Rabbi Kiva argues, and Rabbi Kiva Savar, he holds, otherwise, he says, kipul moel. When you twist it, it works. So now it's no longer kli. Vein to us kli alav, it's not called a kli anymore. V'chi kamalik ve'etz ba'alma kamalik. And when you're lighting it, it's just a regular tree. It does not consider kli anymore, and that's why he allowed you to light it. So Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Rav Yosef, the third time we're seeing him on this daf, he knew the brayse that clearly says this. I knew the tanina. That's exactly what the Mishnah meant. Gimel al gimel mitzum tamos v'liyadon delamay hilchasa. I remember hearing a brayse about 3x3, exactly 3x3 is some discussion summer. I didn't know what it was referring to, but now I understand it's being applied to this very Mishnah. Should we go a little further? Let's go a few more lines. That's okay. If we go a few more lines to the top very quickly, it'll take 30 seconds. So, midikamatarich of Ada Barava, Aliv the Rehuda. The fact that Rav Ada gave this answer within the opinion of Rav Yehuda, Shmamina Kerehuda Sfile. He holds of Rabbi Yehuda, again, who says that you could be masik b'kalim v'ain masikim b'shivei kalim. You could use kalim to light candles, but you can't use broken kalim, because broken kalim, that broken yantif, is considered nolad. So the Gemara says, but v'ha amar Rav Ada Barava, doesn't he say otherwise? That a nachri shechokak kav bibikas Yisrael masika biyamtif. Let's say a non-Jew takes a beam and he carves out a little hole into this beam of a Jewish-owned beam. You're allowed to use it, but isn't that shivrei kli? Isn't that nolad? He created a new purpose, a new use for it. That's nolad. So how come this is permitted on yamtif? How could Rav Ada Barava himself allow it? Doesn't he hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you can't use shivrei kalim because of nolad? The Gemara says, "By my nolad who?" So the Gemara answers, the divrem de Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kiva kamerle, but lei lo tefile. He was explaining only in the world of Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Eliezer, but in his own world, Rabbi Adar bar Ava himself held against Rabbi Yehuda that you are allowed to light things from something that's no one. Okay, we'll stop here.